Good morning. Today is Wednesday, March the 23rd, 83rd day of the new year. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Supervisor, Mr. Sundberg.
How's it going, my friend?
Oh, day by day, huh? Any more?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do need
day
to compliment
day,
you.
Above ground, it's a good day.
Yeah.
Upright.
Yeah, and somewhat intelligent.
I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah, well,
you are talking to
me. We can try. It's a low bar.
I am from McKinleyville.
Yeah. I do want to compliment you on your stylist, too. You finally came over, saw the light,
yes.
Stepped across the line, so congratulations.
Yes, I have no hair on my head.
That's all right. It's not a bad thing.
No.
I hope.
I figured you look so good.
Yeah.
You're going to be nice to me the whole rest of this thing now, right?
Sure, you betcha. Uh-huh.
Are you sufficiently buttered up?
Our quote this morning, let's see if we can find one here. Pascal, how's that? 1670, quote, "A miracle is an effect which exceeds the natural force of the means employed for it." So we are now ready to talk about budget.
Okay.
Sir.
Yes, sir.
What does it look like?
Oh, it's all roses and rainbows, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You want my political answer or the...
Regular guy answer.
Okay. Yeah. No, there's always challenges, and with challenges, there's always opportunities.
That was your regular guy response,
no,
not your politician?
Answer.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. That's all you're getting out of me today, though.
Oh, okay. I can work with it. Beat you up on that one, then. Is the budget process, now that there's a little bit more money, easier or more difficult?
Oh, way, way easier, yeah. I mean, I came into office in 2010, and I remember at the time Phil Smith Haynes said, you know, you came in at like the possible like worst time that you could come in. We're cutting everything. You know, so we were doing across the board 5-7% cuts for the first 2 years while I was there. It wasn't as bad the second year. I think it was 3% or something like that. But it was really, really tough. And it is a lot easier to figure out how to spend money than it is how to cut money. And so, you know, one of the big challenges, though, to be honest with you right now, is now that there's money, everybody, and then, you know, having people cut for that many years, and then, I don't know if you remember, we floated along with just no increases for a few years.
Frozen positions,
right?
Lockdown, yeah.
And then, so everybody cut, and then everybody stayed there, and we talked, I think I even heard, Mark Lovelace, when he said, this is the new normal, right? And so don't expect to go back to where we were. And so now that there's money, trying to get everyone to understand that just because you have money doesn't mean you have to spend it. And let's save for when the next recession comes, because if you look at history, it goes in cycles. And, it, you know, you have the boom and the bust. And it's not really boom and bust, but it's more of like a up and a down. And, you know, the roller coaster. And so we're on the top of the roller coaster right now. And let's prepare so that when we go down, you don't have to go down as far. And so that's the challenge right now, is getting people to buy into that.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, so on one side, you've got, let's say a status quo budget. And then you've got this Measure Z money, which is kind of seen, I think, by some as newfound riches. So on one side, you've got one argument. On the other side, you've got an opportunity to do precisely what you were referencing wasn't going to be able to be done. Is there, tension between the various departments, or does everybody pretty much get the concept of the funding in silos and that it's going to be dedicated and it's not available for some?
Yeah, it's been actually very, very well a collaborative effort, and there really hasn't been, I mean, we're not even a year into it yet, right? So the first go around, it was like throwing the piece of meat out there and everybody was going after it, you know. So this year there wasn't as many of the outside of the box requests. The requests were all pretty much focused somehow to sub public safety or roads, you know, and those kinds of requests. A couple of them that were kind of out of the box that I don't think will have a chance is like the pension, the CAO's office put in for pensions.
Yeah, I saw that and thought that was kind of gutsy.
Yeah.
I mean, particularly coming out of the CAO's office.
Yeah, I think that the reason is they know it's an issue and a long-term issue and we need to address it, and we're slowly addressing it, and this would accelerate.
So are roads and culvert repairs.
Yeah. So is everything.
Yeah.
Right? So to tell you the truth, that, I mean, the pension thing is not going to get funded. We were pretty clear in our last go around that that is not what the public has expressed to all five supervisors of where they want the Measure Z money to go. If anything, they would rather have us save it and then at the end of Measure Z be able to extend out the positions. This is what I've heard from my district anyways. I can't speak for the other supervisors, but that's where they're at. So the pension one doesn't have a chance, and I wouldn't be surprised if the next round of Measure Z, that request is not even in there anymore, because I think they'll kind of get the picture.
The message will be received?
The message will be received, yeah.
Yeah, I would think that's got to be nice to get, you know, viable suggestions
one of
for
the
majority of them rather than all the goofies.
Yeah, one of the things that I think people don't realize either is that when we did the Measure Z ballot statement, if you can go back and read the ballot statement that we did for Measure Z, and it is clearly in there. Roads is clearly in there. Because we've had some pushback from people saying, you know, can't believe you're spending money on roads and you've lied to us, and this, you know, you said it was going to go for cops, right? And so my response to them is, well, first of all, we fully funded the sheriff for everything he asked for, fully funded the DA, fully funded probation. You know, the fire department got 95% of what they asked for, which was more than, you know, $2 million. And so I think we pretty much lived up to that part of it, and there was still money, you know, and it says right clearly in the ballot statement that roads is going to be part of this, you know. And so I just talked to Supervisor Bone the other day, and I wasn't as hot on putting as much money into roads, and we've talked quite a bit about it, and because I have a harder time tying that into public safety, and I wanted this to be, you know, super just public safety oriented,
clean.
Yeah, and that one is definitely not as, the nexus is harder to make, right? But I've talked to quite a few sheriff's officers, and they talk about their response times, and it's like, yeah, there's roads out there that it does take longer to get there, and some of these situations are minutes make the difference between life and death with so, you know, not all the time with the sheriff, but like with the ambulance service.
They had fire and ambulance, yeah.
We had a emergency spill, a hazardous waste response that had to happen on one of Rex's roads, I think going out to Petrolia or something. And they said it took them 40, they had never driven the road before. It took them, they estimated about 45 minutes longer to get out there because it was wet and the potholes, and they, you know, trying to dodge them, and they're like, if this road was a better road, we would have been able to just to go, but we had to pick our way through. And
well, I'm sure there are a lot of miles of roads that are that way.
Oh yeah, they're all over the place. So I mean, we have to prioritize the you know, the ones that are used the most, and Tom does a good job of that. They know, you know, we've got every single road tracked of how many people use them, and you know which ones are the what. They've done an inventory of this. They call it the service level, and the service level is based off of the road condition. And so they have it. They have the service level of each road. So it's like, how long do you wait? You know, what condition is the? There's an index they use for the actual pavement and where it's at.
The thickness of it, or
yeah, or what condition does it have alligatoring in it? And, you know, and so, and they know that if you put a little bit of money into a newer road, it will, it comes out, you know, a lot better than, you know, if you don't do anything, then the replacement is so much more expensive. So it's financially, these really, really traveled roads are the ones that you want to really put. If you have limited funds, that's where you need to put your money, because that's what's going to get you the most bang for your buck in the long run.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30. We'll be back with more from Ryan Sundberg.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Ryan Sundberg. Talk shop presented by REDEC and CDH Painting. Ryan, looking at some of the different channels and some of the departments that you have, yesterday you guys had the presentation from County, which also has under its auspices the parks. I suppose that one of the things that's really challenging for some of those divisions that are smaller is if there's an extraordinary event, smaller financially, mm-hmm. an extraordinary event, that it really can knock things for a loop. There's been a lot of discussion about and concern about the county parks. What state of health is county parks?
They're doing okay. You know, it's not in dire need. They did have a large expenditure for insurance, and when you have a very small budget like that, it's harder to absorb. It's just like a small business that has their freezer go out, or a big restaurant chain that has their freezer go out. I mean, it's going to be a lot bigger of an expense for each one, and it's the same thing with the parks. And unlike the federal government, local government has to balance the budget, right? So they, when staff brings us things, they bring us the whole range of options. So they have a staff recommendation of what they think would work the best, but they give the supervisors the whole range of options, because that's what we ask for. You know, we say we don't want to put the Band-Aid on. We want to know what the overall fix could be, and we, you know, and or at least start letting us start to think about these things. And you know, so when he gave us the range of options, the staff report was to, you know, transfer money within the parks department, but that takes a 4/5 vote by the supervisors to do that transfer. And then he also gives the whole other end of the spectrum, you know, to we could sell the parks, we could close the park, you know. And so the newspaper, for instance, will pick up on that piece of it, and that's the headline, and people freak out, you know. So that's not what's going to happen, or that's not what's happening. But, you know, we ask for these range of options, and I think the public also deserves to know what these range of options are as well. And, you know, I'm sure that if we talk to every single person in Humboldt County, there would be some people who'd say, yeah, close them, you know, but the majority of people don't. They, you know, they know the value of them and the tourists that come. And, you know, there's, I had a few emails about it, you know, people who have been going there for 35 years and their kids still come into town to go to AW Park and wherever that is. I've never been there, but,
First District,
Rex's district somewhere. Yeah. So it all ends up okay, you know, but it also gets people's attention, yeah, which is good too, you know.
That's what I was saying. It's nice to know that, one, there's still some passion there, and two, that there's a willingness to respond and to have input. You know, it's contrasted to like the budget hearings, snooze, nobody shows up, something like this that is actually something that is more tangible for folks.
Uh-huh.
Can elicit response. You know that there are some people out there who are still paying attention.
Yeah, I told them, I said, you know, like closing parks or closing the dog shelter, or, you know, we should just throw all that on the table right before the budget hearing, and then we'll just get a packed house.
That might be a redundant presentation, yeah. But that's...
I'm sure staff would love that.
Yeah. Well, I would think that that's part of good government too, is that you do say, you know, everything really is up for discussion. You know, if you guys do want to make a hard left hand turn or a hard right hand turn on some of these issues, here's your opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than just rubber stamping and continuing to kind of chug along as everybody has done over the past.
Yeah. I mean, a great example of that is the Measure Z. You know, when we heard loud and clear from the community, they wanted more officers, more sheriff's officers, and they wanted, you know, more prosecutors and, you know, the whole range of other things that are in there. And we said, okay, we'll put it on the ballot, let the public vote on it. They can either say yes or no, you know, so it's just it's the way it works. Either the public's decision, or we try and do a really good job of listening to them and representing them and voting for it. Because if we don't get it right, we're not in office.
Now, you kind of have something similar or parallel to that with some of the activity that you're doing in McKinleyville, offering for the community to step up and make some determinations about that part of the county, whatever their decisions might be.
Mm-hmm.
Is that lessons learned from the budget process?
I don't know if it's lessons learned from the budget process, but there's, you know, since I've been in office, one, you know, lived in McKinleyville my whole life, and knowing that McKinleyville can never incorporate because of the state law that says that we have to be revenue neutral to the county, knowing that we're just as big as Arcata, how do we get all the same services and all the same amenities, you know, and all the same beautification projects as the city of Arcata or Eureka or Rio Del or whoever? And we have the McKinleyville Municipal Advisory Committee set up, and that is my sounding board and the de facto kind of city council that would be there for any of the cities. And so I had a really good meeting with the Chamber of Commerce the other day, and they have a beautification committee through the chamber, and I had the idea that, you know, let's get the beautification committee from the chamber, who has all the businesses on Central Avenue, and the McKinleyville Municipal Advisory Committee together, and, you know, have them come to the advisory committee meeting, and let's start talking about what we want this town to look like in the next 5, 10, 20 years. And, you know, do we want lights on the trees as you come in, or flower pots hanging off of the light posts, or do we want different light posts, or do we want street lights in certain areas closer to where our parks are? You know,
just almost a visioning thing.
Yeah, name it. And then let's figure out how we're going to pay for it. You know, what funding sources are out there? You know, there's beautification grants through the state.
That's what I was wondering. Are there, because it's not incorporated, is there a special fund yeah, for those?
There is, yeah. Areas? Actually, Oryk got one of the beautification grants, and they've been going through that process right now, and they've done all the planning part. And so what's now is the implementation part, right? So that's a little more difficult because that's a lot of money. And so you have to go and either find the money or you have to find a way to pay for it yourself. And Oryk is really small, and, you know, there's...
Ange had a thought, the old inn, if you took the wood out now before it rots totally away, you'd probably replane it and sell it off as heart redwood and cover all your costs for the next 5 years.
Probably kill it with that one, yeah. That's a good idea.
Yeah. I think you need to have owner buy-in.
Yeah. But, on this McKinleyville thing, I think it's going to be fun. You know, I really hope, you know, because Jack Durham really does a good job of covering the advisory committee meetings. And so I'm really hoping that the community gets behind this and participates and says, you know, here's what we want our town to look like. And here's how, you know, brainstorm the ideas on how to fund it.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We'll be back with more from Ryan Sundberg.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:48. Ryan, this week we're also having the series of the Last Chance Grade meetings. What are you hoping comes out of those three public gatherings?
Let's see. Well, so there's two processes going on, right? There's Huffman put together the committee that we've talked about quite a few times, right? And it's a really diverse stakeholder group, from environmentalists to politicians to chamber to road users. And, you know, and he put that together to say, you know, this is going to take an act of Congress to get $800 million to $1 billion to build this. So it's going to take a literal act of Congress. He wants to have buy-in from his whole district on how to make this work. And so he put this group together so we'd have, you know, a unified voice coming out of it. This process that you're talking about is actually Caltrans's project process that they have to go through to actually make a project work. And so we're on two different paths that are parallel, and Caltrans is chugging along on their normal process of, you know, we got to get out and talk to the community and blah, blah, blah. So I don't really have any expectations on what's going to come out of it, but except for I hope that people other than, you know, our committee that I'm on, that they really get to know the project and know how bad it is. I mean, you drive it all the time. It is bad. And you talk about just thinking something's hanging on by a thread, and that's what it feels like.
Yeah, every time you go over that bump. Thanks for coming by, bud.
I appreciate your time.
Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you then.